And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday already edition of It's Your Turn. I glanced at my calendar first thing this morning. 2 weeks from today, it's November. Halloween will be done, gone, costumes put away, and we'll be getting ready for, it's fast and furious, boy, once Halloween is come and gone. We change the clocks, we have Election Day, a couple of days later is Veterans Day, 2 weeks later is Thanksgiving, and it really goes by quickly. By the way, enjoy an incredible stretch of weather. I doubt that we'll have an Indian summer day or two, even in November, but we're going to get 6-7 days in a row like this again this year? I doubt it. Enjoy. We have a good show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking a little bit later on the program with guests from the Penn Theater Performance Company who are hard at work trying to raise funds to get control of, first of all, the long-shuttered Penn Theater, and then renovate it and reopen it as a live performance venue in downtown Butler. So we'll get the latest update from them. And then still later on the program, Connie George will join us from Carnegie Science Center. We'll see what's up down there. I know, speaking of the holidays just around the corner, at least I assume they're going to have the miniature railroad village once again. They'll have that there in perpetuity, I think. Most of us saw that when we were kids. But there's a lot of other stuff going on, too, so we'll talk with Connie about that. Our first guest, however, is with us here in the studio, and it is the director of VA Butler Healthcare, Mr. David Cord. Director Cord, good to see you. Gosh, we haven't talked since just before the opening of the A.B. Abraham Healthcare Center.
Now we're up and running. It's been a busy 6-7 weeks since we've got open.
I was just trying to think. Yeah, that was right around Labor Day. In fact, you moved in before Labor Day and then accepted the first patients, I think, the day after.
That's correct. We actually used Labor Day weekend as our move day. Was a long and busy 3 days for everybody getting
That'll
set
be a
up.
Labor Day weekend to remember, huh?
It was a true Labor Day weekend, actually, but staff did a fantastic job. We actually got everything set up over that three-day weekend and saw our first patient that Tuesday morning.
Everything go fairly smoothly?
Everything went remarkably smoothly, considering the work that everybody still had to do to maintain clinics and care, and then, like I said, just take that 72-hour period to get everything ready to go. The coordination of the effort on the part of the staff was very remarkable.
To use a military analogy, no, I'm not a Navy guy, but I know when they get a new ship finished, battleship or a carrier, they have sea trials. They take her out to the ocean for a couple of weeks, see if everything's working. And they bring it back into port and fix what's not quite working. You didn't have the opportunity to do that.
We didn't do that, but we're out in the ocean now and we haven't sunk. So that's a good thing. It's now actually things have gone remarkably well, and I think that's in large part to all the front end planning that went on with this, and then all the coordinated effort throughout the construction period between our staff and the builders and the developers. So I think we were well positioned to be prepared for what the building held for the transition, did a great job making sure that the veterans were well informed about everything, and then I really have to thank our voluntary staff as well too. We had a lot of volunteers who have stepped up to help during this initial phase with making sure the veterans knew where they were going in the new building for appointments, make sure everybody was comfortable with the building. It takes a lot to get used to your first few times in there, and the voluntary staff has just done a remarkable job, I think, making the veterans transition very smooth into this new space.
Now, you had a welcome home day 4 or 5 days after the first patients arrived. Well, it was that following weekend, that Saturday. And you opened the new facility to the public for them to get a look-see as well as returning veterans. There had to be a lot of people who were pretty much blown away, I think, by their first look inside that facility.
They absolutely were, and I'll tell you, what a great day that turned out to be. We had a huge turnout for the event. People were just very curious to see the facility, and the feedback that we got that day from people that was their first time setting foot in the building was overwhelmingly positive. We enrolled veterans that day, so you know, it served its purpose. We mm-hmm. welcomed home veterans. We got veterans enrolled. We had family members there who learned about services for the veterans they may not have been aware of. And the interesting thing is we got some good feedback from having that many pairs of eyes in the building all at one time. We got some feedback on a few things that we could tweak here and there that we may not have thought of ourselves. So that was sort of a unexpected consequence to the event that really turned out to be beneficial to us as well.
Can you explain to, because we're going to have, we have listeners who weren't there, have never seen inside. Inside the main entrance is pretty spectacular. You've got some murals and big panels in there that it's just totally different from the main entrance to the old campus.
Oh, it is. Probably the most striking is in the atrium in the main entryway, looking up the staircase to the second floor. So above the staircase on the highest part of the wall of the second floor is the American flag. And when you are in that atrium and you're looking up from the base of the staircase, it's a spectacular view. As a matter of fact, we had some guests at the facility late yesterday that we were walking around touring the facility with, and that always strikes everybody when you start up that staircase to the second floor. And on the first floor, we have murals that honor every branch of the military. We have a mural that honors our women veterans. We have a mural that honors our old campus, building one on our old campus that was a photo that was shot at sunset. And then we have a mural that honors some of the highlights around the Butler community. So and this was a lot of input from staff with the developers and with the builders. And it's nice. I think the building pays homage to the veterans and it pays homage to the community.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is not obviously, folks, the previous main campus was built in 1938, 1939 or something like that. Yes, it was a hospital, but it kind of looked a little bit like the hospital where they took the Godfather in the movie. I mean, it really did, with the huge, thick concrete walls and you know, and everything like that. That's what medical facilities looked like back in those days. Well, of course it's going to look like that.
Exactly. And that was an inpatient facility. This is outpatient, and it truly was built for that purpose. I think most of the people who came to the open house and everybody who's since come for their first appointment, I think they're most struck by how open this building is. It's very open, a lot of light, a very good flow to where the patients need to go for their care. It has such a different feel. It really does. It's just the light and the welcoming, inviting feel of this building is much different than the old corridor, hallway, concrete type of a building that we had moved from.
And folks, if you think we're making too much of this, this is crucial. You could ask any healthcare professional. This is a big deal. You think about this when you go into other hospitals. If you're not in a Veterans Administration facility, you know, are you impressed or aren't you impressed? Are you unimpressed sometimes when you go into? I know I had the occasion late one night to go in one of the major hospitals in the city of Pittsburgh. I was astonished at how it was dirty. I couldn't believe it. Not a good impression. Here you're airy, you're light. It's just a totally different picture than the old building.
Well, it is. And the environment in which you're providing care, the atmosphere in which you're providing care is crucial to the care that you're providing. You want an environment that is welcoming for the veterans, is comfortable for them while they're waiting for their care or waiting for results from tests. You want... Clearly, you want an environment that is clean and looks that way, and that just creates a level of comfort and confidence in the veterans that we're paying attention to all those details. And if we're doing that for those details, then just imagine the attention that we're paying to their clinical care.
There are even psychologists who suggest color schemes, folks. Did you ever wonder why the interior of almost any fast food restaurant is either red, yellow, or orange? Did you ever think about that? There's a reason. That's psychology. I was prepared for a color scheme. What blew me away were the murals. That's just fantastic. That's like Greater Pittsburgh International Airport.
It is. It's. We've had a lot of positive feedback about those. I usually walking down on the first floor every day, and even I still stop, and I'm just amazed at the level of detail of those murals. And just like I said, I think they capture an environment of care that we want to provide. I mean, we want the veterans to feel like this is their facility, because as I've said many times, it is. Mm-hmm. And I think this environment embraces that. And the other piece I like is it really embraces the Butler community. I mean, we are an integral part of this community, and I wanted to make sure we took advantage of embracing that in the setup of this facility as well, too.
If you've joined us a little bit late, maybe just got into the car, we're chatting with David Cord. He's the director of VA Butler Healthcare, and we haven't had a chance to talk with the director. He's been kind of busy for the last month and a half, almost 2 months now, with the opening of the A.B. Abraham Healthcare Center out on Duffy Road. Is there anybody left at the old campus? Is everybody out of the new place now?
Oh, no. We still have our community living center, which is our nursing home. We have 60-bed community living center, and that is still on the old campus. Then we have our domiciliary program, which is a 56-bed residential treatment program. Those are still on the old campus, so all the staff that's involved in maintaining both of those programs. We have a lot of our facilities folks are still at the old campus. Our fire department is still at the old campus, so we have a fair number of employees that are still there. Our food service workers are still there, kitchen staff, because they take care of feeding the CLC and the Dom residents. So we're actively running two campuses now, and you know, it's been an adjustment for the staff, and I will commend them. They've done a wonderful job in being flexible to the fact that we now are a two campus organization, and that requires some back and forth coordination.
Do you do your own laundry? I've read in recent past decade or so that many, even major hospitals, contract that out now, laundry service.
Yes, that's contracted out for us as well, too.
Pretty common in the, in the medical industry these days.
Yes.
Yeah. So no major problems, obviously. I'm sure there had to be a light switch somewhere that didn't work or something like that.
Oh, we've had our share of small things. I liken it to anybody who has ever built a new home, new construction, and moved in, and as beautiful as everything is, and as perfect as you believe everything went, when you start to live in it, that's when you realize you've got a few little things. It's been no different in our case.
What about the you know, in a home, you know, hook up your cable, your internet provider, and maybe your phone. That's about it. You are hooking up. My goodness gracious, I hesitate to think of all the internet technology and phone lines and data lines and all of that stuff that you had to hook up. And that's crucial to maintaining patient records these days. You know, you don't use the old clipboard hanging at the bottom of the bed anymore.
Oh, no. Our records are all electronic, and it's also crucial. There is hardly any piece of medical equipment now that isn't somehow tied to computer and IT functions. So, yeah, there are miles and miles of cable and, you know, hardwiring infrastructure to the IT component of that building. And again, the IT staff who started that, you know, 6 months ahead of time.
Oh, they would have to, yeah.
To get all of the phones, the computers, so that, again, on day one, when everybody walked in to start to see veterans that day, they sat down, they put their card in their computer, and their computer was up and running just like it was the Friday before at the old facility.
Is there a central desk when people, because a lot of people are going to be walking in here for the first time. And they're gawking around, the head's on a swivel. It has to be. Is there a place where they can go and get directions and find out where they need to go for whatever they're there for?
Yes. Matter of, when you walk right in the front door, straight ahead of you, you'll walk right to an information desk. We have that manned by volunteers all the time. Once in a while, you might see me down there. I was down last week actually walking some veterans around to their appointments, but we have the volunteers there all the time. We have wayfinding diagrams for the facility, but we're also happy to walk veterans and their families back to where their clinic area is to make sure that everybody, particularly that first time in, kind of gets an understanding of where exactly they're going for their appointments.
Is it ever too late for a veteran to register with the VA?
Absolutely not.
I mean, what if, you know, it could be somebody, it could be Korean War, Vietnam War veteran, or that era, not necessarily overseas, that for one reason or another, whatever, never registered with the VA. You could still do that?
Absolutely. There's no age limit that you're restricted after you reach a certain age. We are continually encouraging veterans that if you have, if you've not registered and you're not sure about your eligibility, stop in and see us. If you have your DD-214, bring it along. It's very helpful. You can call in. You can talk to our eligibility staff as well, too. We can get you enrolled. If you're eligible for care, we'll get your first appointment scheduled for you as well on the spot.
What's a DD-14? Is that discharge papers?
Your DD-214 is your discharge paperwork that you have that reflects your period of service. It will reflect your medals and ribbons. It will reflect your type of discharge. And some of that information can be pertinent to different categories of eligibility for care. So it's very helpful if you have that. And many veterans do have that. It's one, when I was discharged from the Air Force, it's one of the, they give you multiple copies of that, and they impress upon you to make sure that you hang on to those because you'll need those at different parts of your life.
Yeah, and well, there were some, and I don't know what era, there was a huge fire in St. Louis at a military records storage warehouse that destroyed the military records of tens of thousands of veterans, right?
Yes, and that does still come into play periodically. I know a lot of that was recreated over the years. I do know periodically we have veterans, particularly those who are dealing with trying to apply for compensation and pension benefits, and they will periodically run into issues with that, but our partners at VBA, the Veterans Benefit Administration, they do a remarkable job in helping to reconstruct anything that might have been lost during that particular period.
What a tragic incident that was, and of course, it would never happen today. There's, you know, everything's digital, and it's I'm sure it's stored on multiple servers in multiple places. You don't have to worry about a horrendous warehouse fire.
No, now we just have to worry about the computers crashing.
Yeah, no, that's true. Or being hacked. Who knows? That's a scary thing, isn't it? I saw a guy on TV the other day, he said, just assume that everyone's been hacked. He said, that's probably your safest bet instead of getting a headache over every headline that comes out every other day. So what's going to happen to the... I hate to refer to it as the old building. It was called Building 3, wasn't it? Was that the...
Building 1.
Building 1. The big one.
Yes.
The main building at the old campus. I know I asked you this last year, and it was still up in the air. Of course, the new building wasn't open yet. Has there been any progress on the decision? Or, I mean, would that be something that... I don't know. Maybe they make that decision in Washington.
So we've actually been actively working with other federal agencies who have some potential interest in the building. There is a process that that we go through. Parts of that process include a feasibility study, which is underway now, where a group of many individuals across multiple disciplines have been to our campus now several times to look at that building and look at other parts of the campus that might be necessary with that building. Mm-hmm. And then they will complete a feasibility study that will indicate that, yes, this building and this space is feasible for the use of this other agency. That process is ongoing. By the end of October, that will be about 60% complete. So that, along with some other work that's being done, probably here in November, December timeframe, we will have a good idea along with the other agency about whether or not this is a potential marriage that could work down the road. And if that's the case, then there would be other steps to sort of finalize exactly, you know, what aspects of the campus that agency would want need along with building one, how we would handle the transfer of that. So it's been a busy process, but you know, I'm pleased to say it's actually moving along at a better pace than I had anticipated.
It's an old building, but it's not decrepit or in need of major repairs or anything. In fact, anything but. It's been very well maintained.
It has been.
And there has to be, with the continued growth of the federal government, there has to be a need for office space and stuff like that for various agencies. After all, the property's owned by the federal government, right?
Exactly, and that's the path that we're working towards. We do have a secretary right now who has made it a priority that he would like to see the facilities across the country that have unused or underutilized properties, that we dispose of those in one way or another. So I think that's helped us from a timing standpoint, because you know, the secretary has recognized that there's a cost associated with maintaining unused property, and those dollars could be better used for veteran care.
Yeah, I mean, you got to heat it, and you have to have power to it, whether there's anybody in there or not.
Exactly, and it becomes an expense that you know, over the years becomes one that's unnecessary. So I think in this climate we're well positioned to try to move forward more quickly, and like I said, we're working with an agency that does have interest in this, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed that sometime over the next 3 to 6 months we'll have a very clear idea of what direction we're heading with building one.
It would be kind of bittersweet to see the building go. It's such an iconic presence there for decades. People driving down Newcastle Road. Been there since 1939.
You know? It is. And matter of fact, that's why we captured it in one of the murals at the new healthcare center, is because it is, you know, it's not only the centerpiece of the main campus where our facility was for decades, but I think it's one of the iconic buildings in Butler as well, too. So we're working our best to see that we can preserve that.
And there is, I mean, the federal government owns quite a bit of land there, the VA, that's not built upon right now. So if another federal agency needed more room, you know, space there, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. We have unused undeveloped space on that campus as well, too. And I know part of this feasibility study is taking a look at all of that as well, too. And we need to balance that with the fact that we're going to maintain our community living center and our domiciliary on that campus. So mm-hmm. we do want, if another agency were to take over that campus or that part of it, we do want to make sure that it's a good fit for the fact that we still have two residential programs on that campus, and whoever would come on there to work out of building one, that would be still a good fit for that campus.
By the way, for people who don't aren't familiar with the layout, those two residential facilities that Director Cord's referring to, they're in separate buildings. In fact, they're in practically new buildings.
Yes.
They look like it's a complex. It's a series of buildings when you look at it from the outside, pretty much one level or certainly low level. But they're not in the building one, the big red brick structure.
No, they are separate structures. Now, there is a enclosed corridor right now that connects Building 1 to the Community Living Center buildings. But those are two freestanding buildings, one level. Both of those have 30 beds in them. There is a building right next to those, Building 2, which we are currently renovating so that we can take the remaining ancillary services like the kitchen, police department, and some others out of Building 1, move those in because they are needed to support the CLC and the Dom. And then the Dom is a complete separate structure from the rest of the campus, and that's comprised of a main administrative building, and then we've got the villa-style residence where the veterans stayed during their period of treatment.
It's kind of on the other side of the main building there from... they're kind of on two ends, like the West Wing and the East Wing of the White House.
Absolutely.
And then there's all the space behind, which probably a lot of people saw for the first time when they visited the Vietnam Traveling Wall this summer. There's quite a bit of acreage behind the main building.
Yeah, I think people who have not been on the campus don't appreciate the green space that is available on that campus. And when we had the moving wall there, which... by the way, was and you came and did your radio show there. It's quite a that's quite a moving event. But it kind of gives you, if you've not been on the campus before, it gives you an appreciation for the fact that there is space on that campus that may not be readily discernible when you're driving down Newcastle Road.
So the feedback from the public has been, wow, gosh. What about feedback from veterans? Have you had any feedback from them yet?
We have. I get some every day. I had some this morning, as a matter of fact. The feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. There are some things that we are still tweaking with the building to make it even more user-friendly for the veterans. I think the fact that 99% of the care is all on the ground floor has been a huge satisfier for the veterans. In the old building, in Building 1, we had care spread across five floors. And that's just not ideal, particularly with the patient population we serve. So now almost everything that the veterans need is on one floor. The flip side of that is because it's all on one floor and that has such a large footprint, I don't think that we necessarily appreciated the length of travel for some of our veterans from the front door to some of the clinics in the rear of the building, which is a legitimate issue for us to take a look at. So it's one of those things that you don't think about it until you're in it, and some of the veterans are traversing that distance. So we're looking at some ways to help move some of the veterans around on the first floor where it might be a little difficult for them to ambulate that distance.
Get some of those slow speed little mini golf carts like they have at the airport.
See, you and I are of the same mind. I've already I'm actually excited about the opportunity to just go down there and drive those a couple times a day myself.
They don't go very fast, and they have little beepers on them so that people know to get out of the way.
That's what we're thinking, actually, because the corridor space in the main floor is so wide and so open that we actually could make something like that work quite easily, and it would be, you know, we have the volunteers. It's just a matter of getting the equipment, but we've already discussed something exactly along those lines.
Will you still occasionally at least hold, you know, one of your outreach town hall meetings? Probably won't be the need for having them as many times as you've done in the past couple of years getting ready for the new building.
Oh, no, we're still having them on a monthly basis.
Oh, really?
And I rotate them between the main facility here in Butler, or I'll go out to one of our community-based outpatient clinics. We were just in Mercer last week for a meeting there last Wednesday evening. So the next one we'll do back here in Butler, and we will do them at the new healthcare center. And so now I try to do those every month and get back and forth. And that way I try to create an opportunity where any veteran who has any issue that they want to discuss with myself or the rest of my leadership team, that we make ourselves available. We'll continue to do that as long as I'm the director of the facility.
Well, the opening ceremonies were splendidly planned and carried out. It was nice to have A.B. Abraham's widow there. Helping to cut the ribbon, it was a nice touch. Well done.
Thank you. It was, you know, I had staff, Ken, who's here in the studio with me, and Dwight, who works with Ken, and many, many others put a lot of hours into planning what I thought was a remarkably touching ceremony. It was nice to have I think we had over 100 of his family members in for the occasion. Mm-hmm. Rocky Blyer gave a great speech. Mike Kelly gave a phenomenal speech. And I think everybody really appreciated the moment.
Well, listeners, we waited a long time for this facility, and I don't have to detail the potholes that we faced along the way. Some of them were pretty controversial, but my goodness, talk about being worth the wait, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think everybody is very pleased with the finished product, and most importantly, it really has created an environment that just maximizes the setting for us to provide care to the veterans.
Mm-hmm. Now all we have to do is convince PennDOT to complete that that roundabout out there.
that would be helpful, although I am very pleased to say we've not had any issues with traffic coming in and out of the facility. As we've talked in the past, I had some concerns about that myself. I was holding my breath on day one around 4:30 when I watched people leave the campus, and it's worked exceptionally well. So far, so good.
Repaving was timely as well.
Yes.
Nice. Director David Cord, he's the director of VA Butler Healthcare and the new Abraham Healthcare Center out on Duffy Road. The ship has left port, and it's sailing smoothly on open waters right now. Good to see you, Director. Thanks for stopping in today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
And keep us posted on other things that are happening, too.
Absolutely.
Everything is going on. Ken Galbraith, thank you, too. So helping to set up our interviews. More to come on It's Your Turn. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back to talk with our next guest here in just a moment or so. I wanted to tell you about one of our sponsors on the program today, and that's the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. They operate, a thrift store, the Greater Butler Mart thrift store. They also operate a food bank that's wonderful for the needy. And here's something else, because they're gearing up for their busiest time of the year for their client aid program. And this is funded in part by the proceeds from the operation of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store. This is a program under which if a family might need help at the end of the month with a particularly big heating bill or a rent payment or something like that, they can get a temporary helping hand. Client aid, they call it. It's one of three big ways that the Society of St. Vincent de Paul helps the needy and the less fortunate in our community. The food bank, of course, too, which is funded in part by the operation of the thrift store. So for goodness sakes, if you've got clothing, shoes, furniture, other items that you're going to get rid of, think about donating to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. You'll help fund their other programs. They like to say, we stand the tallest when we stoop to help others. It's a wonderful thought. Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Their thrift stores in the Greater Butler Mart. It's open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. We'll be right back.
Whether you're a backyard car fixer-upper or an auto repair shop, Milich Auto Wrecking is still the place to go for new and used auto and truck parts. They have been for over 40 years. And compared to factory prices, you'll save big bucks. Milich Auto Wrecking is neatly organized and will tell you immediately if they have the part or not. Open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, it's Milich Auto Wrecking, Route 38, the Oneida Valley Road. Look for the big black and red sign. Stop by or call 287-1001. And yes, old Uncle Fred still goes to Milich.
Looking for a way to make your company's benefit package a little more competitive? Here's one that's so easy, more than 130 local organizations and businesses have added it to their programs. Membership in Armco Credit Union. At Armco Credit Union, your employees will have access to the best loan rates and more free banking services, while direct deposit and payroll deduction options make it convenient for both of you. And best of all, it doesn't cost you a thing. Learn more at armcocu.com or by calling 284-2020. Armco Credit Union is an equal opportunity lender and is insured by NCUA.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Is that okay? Oh, I didn't realize they named it after him.
Yes. Welcome back, folks. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program on a Wednesday. Our next guests have joined us, and they are from the Penn Theatre Performance Company, and we have asked them to please keep us updated on a regular basis on their plans, their hopes, their dreams to acquire control of and renovate and eventually reopen the long-shuttered Penn Theatre as a live concert venue in downtown Butler. How was that, Dane, for a nutshell description? Not too bad, huh?
Yeah, I like it. Covered all the bases.
Dane Winkler and Buddy Thompson are both, you're both board members of the company, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it a large board, by the way? You got, what, 8, 10 people, something like that?
Six?
Well, that means a lot of work for people.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah, we have some other people who want to help, but they don't want to be fully committed to being board members, so we're always keeping our ears open for other people that want to get involved.
Mm-hmm. So, the last time we talked, things were looking pretty good for moving ahead with acquiring control of the Penn Theatre. Has anything changed there? Is that still kind of in limbo?
Yeah. Since last time we were here, we got some quotes on heating, ventilating, and air conditioning. And to get up to code, which is our big goal here, this is what we're raising money for, to get up to building code, just so we can open it up and have some sort of public show to have people come in and see the place and see how much more work needs to be done. We're looking at, with new electric service, new water service, and redoing the HVAC in the upstairs theater lobby in the two storefronts. It's going to be about $130,000. So we have raised, so far this year, around 18. We have some irons in the fire with some local foundations that might be able to give us some grant money. I was just on the phone with somebody this morning trying to track down a contact person. So we're going to keep pushing. We have, on December 9th, we're going to be raising some money out at the Stables of Conquenessing with our holiday ball.
Mm-hmm.
So for the listeners out there, go to penntheaterbutler.com. You can purchase a table or an individual ticket right there. That'll help us get to the point of raising this money so that we can get the building code met and open the doors.
I'm not a contractor or a carpenter and certainly not an electrician, but when you talk about new electric service, that doesn't necessarily mean rewiring the whole building, right?
It's right,
the,
right.
It's the just service that comes in from the pole, and you need that pipe that goes down from the outside.
Yeah, we're going to consolidate. My dad's actually an electrician, so he's been in there to look at it. And he's going to kind of consolidate some of the breaker boxes that are in there down to just two breaker boxes, replace the service cable coming in off the street, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a three-phase. So you got some big, long, heavy cables that are going to be coming through there. And that'll help us get past the inspection. Make it safe.
And the HVAC, which stands for heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, got that right. the system that was in there is kaput. It's non-functioning.
I've never known it to be on. I don't know what its state is. There's a general contractor who subcontracted it out to Ken McDonald's company.
Mm-hmm.
And so I trust those guys to do great work.
Yeah. Well, that stuff hasn't been used in a long time.
No. Yeah.
When was the theater shuttered? Does anybody know the exact date?
It's sometime around 2008, I think.
Yeah. So it's almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the new HVAC is independent from one another. So the two buildings that are for retail, they'll have their own as well as upstairs. Mm-hmm. And so we could have something going on upstairs and not have to heat and cool the main theater and vice versa.
Okay.
Right now it's sort of all one unit.
Yeah. Now those two storefronts, which by the way, have always been there as long as I can remember, even when it was a movie theater.
Right.
There were, you had the main entrance under the marquee where everybody went in.
Right.
Smelled the popcorn right in, right in there. But there were two small storefronts on either side. I think at one point there was a little bookstore in there. I don't know, a lot of stuff. I think it was an attorney's office in there at one point. So that's always been there.
Yeah.
Would you be able to rent those out again? Would that be a possibility?
That's the plan. Yeah. That's the.
That could be a moneymaker for
right,
you.
Right.
Know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what we're trying to figure out with the lease right now. The lease is almost finalized, but we're pounding out some small details, such as, you know, who's going to keep the money from renting those storefronts.
Mm-hmm.
We would prefer that we keep control of it, because then we can solicit to put businesses in there that they will benefit from the theater being open, and vice versa. That way it's all, everything in that little section of the Penn Theater kind of is all like supportive of each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've talked about making a central ticketing office for all the other theater groups around town.
Good idea.
Yeah, and or having some sort of like visitor's center or some anything that's arts and culture or music related in either of those storefronts. That's kind of what we're leaning towards.
It's a primo location.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Excellent.
Right on North Main. It's right across from Cummings Coffee Shop, iconic spot downtown. And there's a one of the theaters in Niagara on the Lake. Either of you ever go up there to the,
absolutely
the Shaw Festival, George Bernard Shaw Festival, and I think it's the one that's downtown on Main Street there, George's Street, which was a movie theater at one time, and they have converted it into a live venue for plays and musicals. I've seen musicals in there. Believe it, it's not that big,
right?
But they have one of those shops right beside the main entrance, and it is a like a theater bookshop. So people are going in to see the show, whatever it might be. Then there's in this case there's, you know, George Bernard Shaw scripts and music and stuff like that, all related to the theater in this little shop.
Right.
It's very nice, and it gets a heck of a lot of traffic.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're
going
for.
Going in. People going in at intermission. They go outside, go in there, went back in the theater.
Try to beat the line.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a real possibility, isn't it?
It's, yeah.
Physically, it seems like they're perfectly set up for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
Well, we'll see. What about upcoming fundraising events? Do you have anything on tap, buddy?
We have two things. We have a 400 Club, which is we are selling 400 tickets at a price of $100 a piece, and the top prize will be $5,000. And then we have a $2,000 prize and two $500 prizes. So we'll be giving away about $9,000 out of that. If we are successful in that, that will essentially pay for our plumbing. Mm-hmm. So I call it the plumbing fund. And when people hear $100, a lot of people go, oh my, that's a lot of money. But there's only 400 tickets sold. And I keep telling people, find three other people, pay $25, and you've got $100.
That's right. You can make a consortium.
Right.
And go after... That's what we always used to for the bottle auction at homecoming. You know, get a consortium.
Yeah. And that the
pull your funds.
The drawing for that is December 9th at our first inaugural ball. And we are selling tables, and you can buy a seat as well for that evening. That's at the stables at Conequenessing.
Where is that, by the way? I'm not sure that I'm
right behind the Boylan Funeral Home, the old stables. Out on 356.
Across from the farm market.
Oh, okay. Yes. Now I know exactly where you are.
Right.
Yes.
Just be the Copper Penny Manor.
Beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful facility. We'll have both floors. We have the Chop Shop catering. It's going to be a spectacular meal. And we have some live entertainment. Lucretia Crawford is going to be performing for us.
Wonderful singer.
Michael Mara, Jamie Russo on the piano, and maybe a few others. And it's going to be a night of dancing and a lot of fun, and we'll do the 400 Club drawing that night as well.
And that is December 9th, did
December
you say?
9th.
Is that a weekend?
That is a Saturday evening.
Saturday evening. Are you already selling tickets for the 400 Club? Or
We are. You can go to our website, www.pennthatrebutler. Yeah, here I go. www.pennthatrebutler.com. And you can purchase tickets there. You can purchase them at my place, the Butler Center Performing Arts, anytime, so anyone can walk off the street. We're looking for people to sell the tickets as well. So if you're interested in that, go to our website, and there'll be a volunteer spot where you can find out how to go about that. So we're really pushing. We can make a substantial amount of money on December 9th. That would not be about what all, not almost a half of what we need.
Would certainly jumpstart your renovation.
Yeah, fund. So it's a big one for us. We really need a lot of support. For it, we've taken on quite a big venture. I think we'll be very successful. Mm-hmm. But that's our big push right now.
By the way, the Center for Creative Arts, Performing Arts. I'm sorry, I've got the wrong title for your business.
That's all right.
It's right near the Y.
Right, old Lee School of Dance. Everybody knows it as Lee School of Dance.
It's West Penn Street.
West Penn Street. Correct. Right. Thank you.
Easy to find.
So, and we're open every night, so you can come after work and purchase a ticket there. We're also selling them out of.
You can pick them up at Kenny's Connect Work on Main inside the Holly Point building.
Mm-hmm.
You just walk in the front doors and go straight back, and you'll see Suite 201. You stop in at where I work too, downtown Butler Eagle, right mm-hmm. beside Kenny's office. We're over in West Penn Street at Buddy's studio,
yeah.
Which has evening hours, which might be a little easier for people.
A lot, yeah.
Very much so, yeah.
Right.
Or get them online.
Or you can purchase them online.
Buy them at 2:30 in the morning if you want to. Well, that's a great idea. Holiday ball, perfect timing.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's not right smack up against Christmas when
right.
everybody's so busy they don't know what they're doing, but December 9th, perfect time.
We're trying to reach out to different offices, small offices in town. They can purchase a table and have their holiday party with us.
Yeah, instead of planning it themselves, just pay us. We'll do it. And then just come and have fun and relax.
That's an excellent idea, too.
Some people have a holiday stress tradition, but this is stress-free. Just come to the Penn Theater Holiday Ball, be stress-free.
And the other nice thing that we're doing is if your business buys a table, or if anyone buys a table, the centerpiece, which Jeff Double is doing, they're all going to be donated to that person's charity of choice.
Oh, I know.
And we will make sure that it gets there. Mm-hmm. So it will represent their name at, if it's a nursing home or whatever facility, that will happen. And it's just a little perk. A give back.
And Jeff at All About Reclaimed makes a heck of a lot of beautiful centerpieces.
Yes,
and he has a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
I've seen him. I've bought a couple. Since we last chatted, and I must confess, I wasn't familiar with this group. I believe it's called the Young Preservationists of Pittsburgh or the Young Preservationists of Western Pennsylvania or something like that. But lo and behold, and this is like a week and a half ago, I think, they came out with a list of the buildings in Western Pennsylvania that are most worthy of being saved. And not only did the Penn Theater make the top 10 list, I think it was number 2, if I remember
number
that correctly.
Right.
Number 2, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
So, I mean, what that shows people is that, you know, you guys are not just pipe dreamers, you know. You're not tilting at windmills,
correct.
In the Spanish literature. this is a most worthy project. Second most worthy building to be preserved in Western Pennsylvania. And I guess they looked at a lot of stuff, including feasibility, you know.
Correct.
Because there are some buildings that might be worth preserving, but they're run down, they're falling down, they're decrepit.
Correct.
I know a lot of train stations are like that. A lot of communities wish they would have decided to maintain and renovate their train stations 30 years ago.
Right.
Before they really started to
collapse. We've been told that the building is rock solid. Which was, we were very happy to hear, needs a lot of cosmetic work and it mm-hmm. needs to function. But the building itself is rock solid, so knock on a lot of wood.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate there.
Yeah, of all the things that that the building inspector looked at, there were two pressing issues that he pointed out. There's an I-beam being exposed on the side where the Worsley's building fell down or burned down that we need to spend about 2 hours to just get it covered up so it's protected from the weather.
Is that and because then, once that the other building was gone, then it was left exposed?
Yeah, and there was. I'm not sure exactly how it happened. It could have been damaged during the time that it was being torn down.
When they demolished it, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Who knows? But I mean, like things like that happened. If that's all that happened, that's pretty lucky.
That's true. That was a huge building that they tore down with a big excavator type equipment. If that's the only thing that got damaged in, you're very lucky.
Yeah, so basically we just needed to shove some bricks in that hole and mortar it in and just keep it nice and sealed off. And then we need to replace the doors in the back behind the main stage, make sure that all the exit signs are good. Other than that, everything else is pretty safe. And so that's what got us to number two on that list.
Was did the you did they call you or something? I mean, or did that come as a total surprise to you?
It doesn't come to me. I think it goes to our president, which is Dade.
Actually, it was Kenny. Kenny saw that they were doing the list, so he submitted it. And through conversations and things like that, that's how they came up with their list.
That's Kenny Bonus, who's another board member.
Yeah, correct.
Penn Theater Performers Company. Well, the news story that we did, we got a news release from this group. Again, I had not heard of them before. I admire people that do this. In fact, I cringe when older buildings are demolished.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. Have you done absolutely everything possible to save this structure?
Right.
You know, can you do it? I was just talking about this with a friend the other day. The Butler couple who saved the Troutman Mansion about 7 or 8 years ago now. That was next to the Armstrong building. And they put wheels and moved it around the block.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a magnificent building that would have been destroyed. And so quite a bit of expense.
I had no idea that was the Troutman Mansion.
Yeah, I didn't know that. When you said that, I didn't. I mean, I know when it happened. I remember seeing it on the news and everything, mm-hmm. but I didn't know that's what
were
it was.
Were you ever in it
before? No.
Obviously,
there's people living there now.
It's a private home now, mm-hmm. Well, they've done a lot of work on it, including, you know, rolling it into that site and then building a basement underneath.
That was crazy.
Which is fantastic. It's beautiful from the exterior. I have been in it, not since it's been a private residence, but I was in it. It was vacant for quite some time. It's amazing little things in there that you just don't see in a house today.
Right.
Including, like a small greenhouse. Right in there.
You can see it from the outside.
Yeah. Fantastic. So it could have been a pile of bricks.
Could have, yeah.
And, you know, look at it now.
Right.
And there's many buildings downtown that have been saved. The old Davy and Hilliard store, which the Symphony Association purchased and tore off all the garbage, and underneath it there's this beautiful building that they've saved now. That's the kind of thing that I really appreciate.
Yeah, I didn't realize this, but when we were talking about the Penn Theater last summer with Bill May, when we were doing the historic, he was doing his historic theaters in Butler mm-hmm. presentation. He told me a really quick story about how him and a group of people saved the Lafayette building. About 26 years ago,
was that? Might have been even a little longer.
Yeah. They just raised money and made it happen. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to hear the rest of that story someday.
We had a
because that's a great building.
I recall there was a rainstorm and a portion of the roof caved in, and then they determined to make repairs. It was being used as a county annex.
Yeah. Still says that on the outside, actually.
Does it really?
I think there's courthouse annex right on the side somewhere.
But the engineers determined that, I mean, obviously they could fix it. They did, but they couldn't fix it so that it would hold, you know, these 18-ton files that all the county offices had in there and safes and everything else. So they converted it to an apartment building. Saved it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great-looking piece.
That building was a bank.
That's what I remember.
It was
I remember
a government center. I think it was Mellon Bank.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Before Mellon built down at the corner of East Brady and North Main, which, of course, is now Citizens Bank. Right. That was Mellon. But Mellon used to be up there right beside the courthouse. That's the kind of thing that, to me, that's exciting.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that makes a downtown, well, downtown has been declared historical district because of some of those projects.
Right.
And boy, if the Penn Theater, if that can happen, that would be magnificent.
It will happen. Yeah. That's the attitude we have to take. Is
It will
happen.
It will. It's just going to take some patience. Mm-hmm. Something that we're all learning very quickly.
Are you still hoping? I mean, the last time we talked, the hope was to maybe have at least a performance in there of some sort. By the anniversary of the building opening, which is next year.
That's the goal. Still the goal. April 22nd. That's the goal. We're hoping for the occupancy permit by April 1st. Mm-hmm. That way, if there's a little bit of a delay, we have a 3-week window there to work with. That's what I have in mind.
Well, good luck.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, folks, if you want to help, and what a great cause. The Holiday Ball. Set for Saturday, December 9th. Get tickets for the ball online.
PennTheaterButler.com.
If your company or your group wants to celebrate their Christmas party there, that would be fine, right?
Correct.
You can do that instead of having to worry about organizing your own Christmas party.
And it is a tax deduction.
Yeah. And also they'll have the drawing for the 400 Club winners. Winners, right?
Winners. Multiple winners.
At the Holiday Ball, Saturday, December 9th, and the tickets for that are already on sale as well.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. At a number of locations, including online at PennTheaterButler.com. Did I copy it down correctly?
You did.
Is that it? Okay. And, gosh, keep us posted. It's exciting. First of all, this is an amazing project you've taken on. You know, I mean, this is a pretty big project.
Pretty big project.
Yeah, you're thinking big. But everybody's hoping for the best. I'd been in Pittsburgh, I guess it was this past Saturday. Came back into town, not at 2 o'clock in the morning, but it was in the evening. And there's the marquee all lit up, you know. And I thought, wow, what a difference does that make in the north end of town?
It's beautiful.
Yeah. We hope for the day when not only is the marquee lit up, but it says, you know, appearing this Saturday.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Joe Blow in the limelighter. Whatever it is.
He's still touring.
Hey, Gary Puckett is still touring. He was 75 yesterday. Two members of the board of the Penn Theater Performance Company visiting with us, Dane Winkler and Buddy Thompson, keeping us posted on this really wonderful, wonderful project, wonderful endeavor. Thanks, guys. Good to see
Thank you.
You
for your
Thanks,
support.
Yeah, good to see you. More to come on It's Your Turn. Our next guest will be chatting with us by telephone today. She is from the Carnegie Science Center down in Pittsburgh, where they got all sorts of things coming up as we near the holiday season. I'm hoping it's still going to be the miniature railroad village, which I remember seeing when I was like 8 years old, when the Carnegie Science Center was still at Buell Planetarium up in Allegheny Center. We'll talk to Connie George coming up just a couple of minutes here on It's Your Turn on WISR. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
One of our sponsors on the It's Your Turn program today is Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. Have you heard about Kelly? This is great stuff. She offers personalized one-on-one care for those of you who are having trouble hearing. Have you noticed it in your family or maybe in someone you love? They're not hearing so well anymore. Your hearing aid will be measured to fit your ear, and Kelly will take the time, one-on-one, personalized service, to make sure that everything is just the way you want it and you need it to be, not only from a hearing standpoint, but from a comfort standpoint as well. Kelly is interested in helping you. She is not interested in trying to sell you the highest-priced hearing aid. In fact, because there's no overhead when you're dealing with Kelly, you'll save thousands. Complimentary consultation. So many people who have either made the change or even just consulted with Kelly are so happy that they did. We'll give you a phone number here in just a minute. Hearing Aid Service by Kelly. That's K-E-L-L-I-E, Kelly. The hearing aid lady. A hearing aid lady. You can call her at 724-756-4327. 724-756-4327. If you didn't catch that number, you can give us a call off the air and we'll be happy to pass it on to you. Hearing aid service by Kelly. Call the hearing aid lady. More to come on the It's Your Turn program. In fact, our next guest is going to be joining us right now via the telephone as we get an update on all sorts of activities that are coming up over the next couple of months at the Carnegie Science Center. And we chat by telephone with Connie George, Senior Director of Marketing and Community Relations. Connie, this is Dave Malarkey. I hope this is you on the other end.
Hi, Dave. It is.
Well, nice to talk to you. I was just chatting with our previous guests. They were leaving the studio here because I mentioned that I was going to be talking to you and getting some information on programs that are ongoing and programs to come at Carnegie Science Center. And I said, I hope they're still going to have the miniature railroad and village, because I can remember going to see that when I was like 8 years old. And I don't know, it was like a fourth grade field trip or something like that. And it was still back at the Buell Planetarium, for goodness sakes.
Yes, we are opening the new miniature railroad and village model, and we closed the miniature railroad and village just for about 6 weeks so that we can update and refresh all the exhibits and make sure that the historic models are all in tip-top shape. Mm-hmm. So that reopens on November 20th, and the exciting thing about the reopening is that we'll have a brand new model, and it will be Primanti's Brothers Restaurant.
Oh, right.
So, so that will be a lot of fun, and it's something that people from the entire region, Butler and throughout Pittsburgh, love that restaurant. And so that will be the new model, and it'll be lots of fun. Last year we did the Atom Smasher, if you remember.
Oh, that's right. The old Westinghouse, I think, wasn't it? Westinghouse,
yes, plant? Yes.
Yeah.
And so, that opens November 20th. And we just put a new robot in our Robo World. I don't know if you know, but we have the world's largest robot Hall of Fame. And in Robo World now, we have a robot called the Iron Giant. And I don't know if you've seen that movie. It has a cult following, but it actually won 9 Annie Awards. And the movie is based off of this robot called the Iron Giant. And this robot really lives true to its name, because it towers over all the other robots in the Robo Hall of Fame. So pretty interesting.
I have not seen the Robo Hall of Fame. In fact, I guess I'm kind of dating myself here, Connie. My
most recent robot experience was with the R2-D2, I think.
Well, we have R2-D2 there.
Get out, really?
Absolutely, ah. Yes. So there's a lot of different robots in the Robot Hall of Fame, from R2-D2 to Gort, and you remember Robbie from he made his first appearance in Forbidden Planet, and B9 1967 from Lost in Space.
I don't remember that one, but Gort is from now don't tell me because it's going to come to me. The Day the Earth Stood Still, right?
Yep, from 1951.
Wow.
Yeah, so we can't
I had no idea you had this done.
Yeah.
I saw that movie when I was a kid. I didn't see it in a in a movie house, in a theater. But I don't know. It was on like $1 million movie or something like that in the early 1960s. But I can remember seeing it. Yeah,
yeah, we have over a dozen robots, and then we have, of course, more modern robots, like the robots that fill your prescriptions and robots that recognize your face and your facial movements. But that really ties in well to Halloween. We have a lot of Halloween events happening this year. First of all, we have a Halloween laser shows are every day, and they're not too spooky lasers and ghoulish tunes and Addams Family actors and Ghostbusters and Beetlejuice, and the kids will be able to do the Monster Mash and the Time Warp. So it's every day, three or four times a day, we do these Halloween laser shows. We also have a Halloween sleepover coming up on October 20th, and that's another really cool event that kids can sleep over and do all kinds of activities, and in the morning they get free admission to the Science Center and a breakfast so they can enjoy the night and then into the morning have more sciencey activities.
The Monster Mash. Listen, but back to the robo world. Do some of these robots, do they work? Are they partially operational?
Well, the more modern ones do work, so they'll show you how they fill a prescription or will recognize your face. They're very interactive robots, the modern ones. The Hall of Fame are more, something to see, but the modern robots, like we have an air hockey game where you play against a robot. We have make a face and the robot will make the same face back. We have Andy, a robot who you can ask him to give you a line for a John Wayne line, and he'll act like John Wayne, so it's a pretty neat area in our robo world.
Folks, we haven't even covered half of what we're going to talk about today with Connie,
no.
But I hope you already, and those of you who are parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles, I hope you're making plans to take the kids, maybe over the holidays, to Carnegie Science Center, because obviously they are just going to love this stuff. They're going to go crazy. Wow.
With the railroad and then the Halloween laser shows, and we also have holiday laser shows, so if you want to come during the holidays, when the railroad opens. We also have a Skywatch once a month, and that's in the evening, and you can go to Buell Planetarium, which many people love to do, and it can be a tradition for a lot of people. We've done a long time ago, but rain or shine, we do this Skywatch where you go into Buell Planetarium, you look at the Milky Way, and you'll even see Orion's belt with the three kings, and then you can go outside, and if it's not cloudy, we have our giant telescope, and you can see many of the stars and planets. And hopefully Orion's belt, too. Hmm. So, yes, we have Skywatch every month, and the next one is October 27th, and we run it at 7 and 9 p.m. And these are not expensive events. It's like $4 per person. So it's not like you're going to pay an arm and a leg to get in.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you pay your entrance fee, you or whoever you're taking to Carnegie Science Center, do you pay extra for some of these other things, like to go to Robo World or something like that?
No, Robo World is included in admission. The laser shows, I think, are also included in admission. Skywatch is, you don't even have to pay admission. You just come to Skywatch. But let me just find out if the laser shows are more. I have to, before I tell you. Oh, it is. It's $2 for members and $8 for non-members.
That's still not bad. We're talking,
laser show.
Listeners, if you're just joining us a little bit late on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, no problem. Dave Malarkey is my name. Connie George is with us. She's the Senior Director of Marketing and Community Relations at Carnegie Science Center. And even what we've talked about so far rekindles memories for me being a kid and going to Carnegie Science Center. Now, when I was in elementary school, I lived quite a bit further away from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was a trip that we planned for, you know, like for a couple of, couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
But I can remember going to see the miniature railroad, and also, and I'm sure I'm referring to this incorrectly, but it was a Christmas sky show where they attempted to recreate what the stars may have looked like, mm-hmm. you know, during the Christmas season.
Yep, and that's our holiday Buell Planetarium show. So
they,
we
they
look
still
for
do that?
That?
Oh wow, that was so fascinating. You know,
yeah, we do lots of fun shows in the Buell Planetarium that are relevant to the time period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah.
We have a sleepover for Light Up Night in Pittsburgh. So if you're planning on coming down to Pittsburgh for Light Up Night, you might want to stay at the Science Center and not have to drive all the way back to Butler.
Now, there are people, I'm sure, who follow the news, Connie, and they know that there's renovation work going on down there. They might not have even realized that the Science Center is still open and going full bore, even though you're expanding.
Well, it's actually it's not as much of a renovation as it is an addition.
Ah.
So the renovation isn't affecting the main exhibits right now. I mean, we have upgraded and we're getting new flooring in the current building and doing a lot of great updates. But overall, the addition construction is separate from the Science Center itself. So if you think of putting an addition on your house, there's lots of dust, but, you know, you could still go in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a quick break, and we have some more time to talk with Connie George. There are some other things that are happening at Carnegie Science Center that we want to get you up to date on. Well, we haven't talked with folks from the Science Center in quite a while here on the program. One of our sponsors today is Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot on Jones Road. And that's not very far from anywhere, really, around here. And boy, with Thanksgiving just around the corner and the holiday season, they offer all-natural, free-roaming turkeys and chickens. Where do you find that these days, huh? Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot. Their birds are handled with extreme care. They are specifically fed non-GMO grain, and they are preservative-free. They are additive-free. These are all natural, free-roaming turkeys and chickens. Now, you can buy a turkey frozen, or you can get it fresh right before the big holiday meal, your choice. Owner Dave Jones stakes his reputation on his turkeys being the best in western Pennsylvania. I'm kind of getting hungry for a drumstick just talking about it. I really. You want to order one today? It's not too soon to do that. Now, Thanksgiving is only about a month away. Or you can visit online at jonesturkeyfarm.com to learn more, jonesturkeyfarm.com, or call 724-352-2450. The Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot, quite simply the best. One of our other sponsors is Going Postal Butler. Have you heard about this place yet, folks? What do they do? It's your friendly neighborhood shipping center. What they do is package your items for shipping, one item or three or four or ten. And what a convenience. They package your items for shipping, and you can ship them any way you want to. Your choice, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They have other services, too, at Gone Postal Butler. They're just off Newcastle Road, right behind the Kings and Villa Grande restaurants. They offer a copying service, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes, greeting cards. Throw a card in when you send out your package. They have an official notary. Sometimes you need that when you're sending something out. Even grab a lottery ticket. 140 Shockey Lane. Again, that's just off Newcastle Road, right behind Kings and Villa Grande. Going Postal Butler. Call them for more info. 724-841-0044. 841-0044. 0044, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. We're talking with Connie George of the Carnegie Science Center. Connie is the Senior Director of Marketing and Community Relations. I want to make sure that some of our listeners, maybe some of our listeners who are baby boomers, don't get confused, because Carnegie Science Center, long ago, a generation or two ago, was called the Buell Science Center, and it was in a different location. It's moved now. It's all brand new. In fact, as Connie just said, they're adding on. But you still have the Buell Planetarium there, right, where you show the sky shows.
Mm-hmm. We still have the sky shows, and the addition is going to be amazing because it will have a 14,000 square foot space for a new touring exhibit. So we'll be able to bring exhibits in that are shown all over the world, but have never been shown in Pittsburgh or the surrounding area because there's just not enough space. So we'll have a brand new touring exhibit called The Art of the Brick starting next June. So listen more for that. Hopefully I can get back on. I can tell you more about that. But another area that we're opening that is a part of the renovation that opens in November 17th, the Rangos Giant Cinema opens.
Oh, what's that all about?
And if you knew of the OmniMax Theater, the Dome Theater, we've renovated that, gutted it, and put all new, very comfortable leather-ish seats and larger seats. We have a giant screen. It's the region's, Pittsburgh area's only largest screen, and it will have the most technologically advanced projection and audio systems in the area. So we'll have 4K digital laser Christie technology for the projection system, which means it'll be super bright and super a lot of contrast and great visuals. You'll and then we'll have Dolby Atmos sound system, mm-hmm. which is a surround sound system. So most theaters have 14 speakers. This will have 45 speakers. So there'll be speakers above you and all around you. So if you closed your eyes and you were listening to a bird, you could actually see where the bird is because you could follow it across the room. It's that kind of sound. It's not 45 speakers louder. It's just 45 speakers more realistic to immerse you into the theater. You know, you're like in the movie instead of watching the movie.
This is the Rangos Giant Cinema, folks, which opens next month in November.
Yep, November 17th.
There'll be people, Connie, who have never seen an OmniMax-type screen. Explain the difference between that and just going into a regular,
Cinemaplex. Well, we don't have OmniMax anymore. So in the past, we had OmniMax, which was a domed theater. So you would have the movie up above your head. We won't have that anymore. We're going to have just a huge screen that's curved. And the reason why is because they're not making as many of those OmniMax films, and they're not very good quality, so they're a lot more grainy than the ones that are out now.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can show first-run Hollywood features. In fact, starting December 15th, we're showing Star Wars: The Last Jedi. So in most of the theaters that we know are offering them are sold out. So we're announcing tomorrow tickets for Star Wars: The Last Jedi, and it will be shown at the Pittsburgh region's most advanced, technologically advanced theater and largest screen, and it will be shown in 3D at Carnegie Science Center starting December 15th.
Wow.
So that will be cool, too. And another movie that we're showing starting November 17th when we open is Amazon Adventure, and that movie just recently won five awards at the Giant Screen Cinema Association. It ran Best Film, Best Sound. It's just an amazing story about a explorer that went to the Amazon to help Darwin prove his theory of evolution.
Mm.
So it's very, very interesting and good story. And we'll also have Tiny Giants, which is like the ecosystem of a chipmunk for the younger kids, and Animalopolis, which is for early learners. So that'll all start on November 17th.
I can't imagine what Star Wars The Last Jedi is going to look like on that gigantic curved screen. I can remember seeing the very first Star Wars movie, and it was obviously a long, long time ago.
Right.
And even the opening credits just blew you away with those special effects. I can imagine what they're going to look like on the Rangos giant cinema screen. That'll be a treat.
It will be a treat. Yeah. It's really exciting.
Now, I see something else here called the Ropes Challenge.
Yes.
Connie, what the heck is that all about?
Okay. Well, in our Sportsworks, our Highmark Sportsworks, we have lots of different activities that people can participate in. It's for adults, too. So when we're talking about all this, this is obviously, when you're hearing what I'm saying, you're thinking it's not just for kids, it's for adults, too. And the Ropes Challenge is one of those things, one of those activities that is in Sportsworks that adults and kids can enjoy. And we have a Sky Tykes Challenge that's sponsored by Isley's, and that's also for littler kids that don't want to go as high up, right? So the Ropes Challenge is very cool. Also in the Sportsworks, we have other really cool exhibits like a climbing wall and a place where you can see your where you can learn CPR, like a kiosk, and lots of other, like, pitching station, batting stations, and lots of things where you learn about the physics of the science of physical activity, right?
Have you seen the Ropes Challenge, Connie?
I have tried the Ropes Challenge, and it is lots of fun, and, you know, for me, a little bit scary, but you're harnessed in, so there's no way that you can get hurt.
Okay.
But,
okay.
But it is certainly, you know, a real challenge for people that are afraid of heights. I can tell you that.
Well, is it like climbing? You know, you see those rope nets on the sides of ships, of Navy ships. Is it like that, or?
Well, you go across like balance beams, and you maybe across a ladder. You know, almost like a. You know, a suspension bridge, but there's nothing on the sides. You know, there's just ropes on the side to hang on to, or you're climbing across like a spider web of ropes, and there's 10 different challenges on the ropes course.
I'm getting,
you know,
a little
moving beams, like you walk on one beam and it sways back and forth, and there's a zip line. So we've really got it all. At the Ropes Challenge, you walk a plank, zoomed on a zip line, and you challenge your sense of balance and your enjoyment of heights.
I'm getting a little queasy, like I need Pepto-Bismol or something here.
It's fun. It is really fun. And we have, you know, for that one, you know, there's quite a line because people just absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. And they want to go on it over and over again. And there's, you know, of course, we have a cool climbing wall, and you can do another activity where you keep the beat on a drum pad to hear the heartbeats of specific animals. It is just a pretty exciting place to be.
Almost sounds like I'm going to have to go to the sleepover just to see everything. I'm going to need a couple of days.
You do. It is about a three-hour visit at the Science Center, three and a half-hour visit, unless you want to go to laser shows. And we also have, like, explosive demonstrations that are included with admission in a lot of our body stage and our science theater. So you can, they'll have nitrogen, smoothies they'll make and different things they'll make in our kitchen that are very cool, and they'll just a lot of fun activities throughout the day, and you can mix it up. You can see things and you can do things, and then you can experience and experiment and just learn, and at while you're at it, you'll learn a lot about science.
I need to squeeze in one more break here, folks. I have two more questions for Connie, so stick around. We'll wrap up our conversation with her as soon as we check midday lottery numbers here on It's Your Turn. We'll be right back.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick two is 48, 48. The pick three is 424, 424. The pick four, 8607. The pick five, 36566. Wild ball for each of those is five. The treasure hunt, 1, 4, 7, 12, and 19. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $30,000.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there stops here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Welcome back, folks. A couple of minutes left to chat with our guest. Boy, she's a font of information for us here. Connie George from Carnegie Science Center. Are you ready to plan a trip down soon? Yeah, me too. Let me ask a couple of questions. And some of these may be going to be a little silly, Connie, but
okay.
One of the memories that I have as a kid visiting to see the Sky Show was, and I'm sure the technology has changed. He went in, he sat down in the theater, they turned out all the lights, and then this giant ant-like creature came up out of the floor in the darkness, and it just scared the heck out of you.
Yes, it is.
it was literally petrifying, especially for some of the girls. Of course, us guys, of course, you know, we weren't scared at all. What do you mean? We were shaking in our shoes. Do they still have that thing, or has laser technology now taken over the Sky Show?
Well, laser technology has taken over this. Has taken over the Sky Show, but we do have the Zeiss Model 2 star projector in our lobby for people to see. So they can, it's intimidating just sitting there in the lobby, you know, and there's a activity around it, but you know, it has a 1,000-watt bulb that was used in the Zeiss projector and a star clock on which visitors can pick any date and time and see some of the major constellations in the sky as they would have appeared in the Pittsburgh on the sky that night. There's a time machine that allows visitors to select any year from 1939 to today to see what was happening in the world of astronomy. So really, really fun thing to see, and not a lot of people remember it, but people like you and I, we do. We remember that.
I remember
scary,
other
scary, intimidating projector coming out of
absolutely
out of the floor.
A
wow.
visit to Carnegie Science Center, it'll stick in your mind forever.
Yep.
I can remember the old lightning demonstration where they'd create a bolt of lightning that.
We still do that. Yes,
do you really?
We still do that. Yep, and that's kind of a it's scary and fun, and there's lots of great activities like that where kids can you know, have their hair stand up and explosions and electrifying displays. But that display is pretty exciting.
Loud. Not only did you see the blue lightning bolt flash across the ceiling between these two balls, but it's a huge explosion, really. Very, very vivid. All this stuff still at the Carnegie Science Center. Hey, is the sub still there, the submarine?
Yes, the USS Raquin submarine, and it's undergone a refurbish, so it's looking shiny new and painted, and yes, it's still here. It's open, weather permitting, in the winter, but otherwise, you know, you just call ahead of time just to make sure. If you know there's inclement weather, it might be too slippery to go on there. Mm. But, yeah, you can go inside the submarine and see how these Navy veterans lived underwater for days at a time.
Upscope, downscope.
Yeah.
run silent, run deep. I think we're so fortunate to have an honest-to-goodness, real-life World War II era submarine. Somebody asked me one time how they ever got it there. I said they sailed it up the river. What do you mean?
Yep, they did, and it's called SS-481, and she was set out just days before the end of World War II, and she holds the distinction of being the Navy's first radar picket submarine.
Wow.
So,
listeners, Connie, please come back sometime in the not-too-distant future. We want to keep folks up to date on everything that's happening at the Carnegie Science Center because, as you know, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump from Butler. It's like 45 minutes. So.
Oh, yeah, Max.
So please come back and talk to us again.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Thanks much.
Take care.
Sure.
Bye-bye. Happy holidays.
And you. Connie George, she's a senior director of marketing and community relations at Carnegie Science Center. I got to get down there sometime next month or certainly in December. Got to do it. Coming up on tomorrow's program, that wraps up the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Tomorrow, Dr. William Saar from Tri Rivers Musculoskeletal will be visiting with us. And we're also going to talk to Dana and Dan Vernon Sr. tomorrow about a Simple Gifts music event. Why do we tell you about this? It's really neat. I think I've seen these folks before, a long, long time ago. Well, I'll find out with Dana and Dan tomorrow. And more, too. But those are some of the highlights of the Thursday show. I'm Dave Mawarkey. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow, 12:30. You're on It's Your Turn on WISR 680 in Butler.
This is Butler's hometown radio station, where you wake up with Dave Mawarkey every weekday morning starting at 5:30. Complete local news, sports, and weather as the sun comes up.